Hello, everyone. I am sitting here with Andrew Rabbit from Rabbit Valley. Mr. Rabbit, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're most welcome. It's a pleasure to be your guest today.
For those of you that have not been able to follow recent Rabbit Valley news, they've been calling out submissions for four anthologies now. And I understand that you will be calling out for two more submissions for anthologies.
That is correct. We've got one of them that has been announced as a Predator-Prey role reversal, yet to be titled, anthology, and the other one we're keeping under wraps until we're ready to announce it.
Going back to FCN earlier this year, did you know around that time that Rabbit Valley was going to be publishing these anthologies, or was this a recent development?
We had a couple of projects on the deck going back last April, and they had just started to come to fruition. We actually had the anthologies on the production plan for a while. It's just that it happened that all four of them came to a head at the same time. We would have liked to stagger them one per quarter as a call for submission, but unfortunately, they all came together round about the same time. We didn't want to delay them any longer than we had.
All right. Why did you decide to start publishing anthologies like these?
Well, we started publishing books back in 1997, and for the most part, as most people know, we do comics and fanzine and magazine-type books, but we're really looking to break into more literary text over the last 2 years, because that's what our readers are asking for. It's actually the reason for the anthologies is we've been approached by several authors to come out with more titles that focus on written word instead of imagery. And this is just our first foray into anthologies.
For some of the topics that you've come out with so far, as you mentioned, you've got Predator Prey, and then you've also got pulp fiction. Well, not pulp fiction, but pulp-themed.
Pulp-themed stories. And we also have got a call for submissions that's perfect for this time of year for Halloween stories, tricks and treats, good and bad, good and evil, I should say. Your typical urban nights, your business person by day, crime fighter at night.
Secret organizations and true happenings of history.
Yeah, and we've got our dreams, which I think is going to be one of the ones I'm really looking forward to. Anthology that should be a collection of stories based on good and, unfortunately, bad dreams. So they could be really fun. And it'll be thought-provoking. I'm hoping that we get a lot of submissions for that. I've got a couple of authors in mind that I'd like to see submit to the Dreams anthology.
Oh, yeah, the Dream certainly does sound very interesting.
It's a difficult topic to chew on, but I know that there are skilled authors in the furry fandom who can make something with that subject.
For these themes, were they topics that you approached certain authors about, or did they come to you with these offers?
It's a bit of a split. I want to say half of them we were approached by editors to put together the anthology to let them, you know, take that topic and run with it. And the other half we approached our in-house editors and authors and said, hey, we would like to see this come out sometime in 2013. Do you want to manage the project? So it's a 50-50 split. We're not the big eye in the sky that comes up with all the ideas. We really like it when people come to us with ideas that we think will fly.
All right, I got you. And which of these anthologies were the ones that you approached the editors for?
Oh, that's a company secret. I can't tell you that.
Okay, fair enough. For the editors that come to you for theme proposals, how does that work when they come to you for themes for anthologies?
Well, generally, we'll get a letter of interest from the creative genius behind the project, explaining what they want to do and where they want to take it. And so if we were to say, Somebody had an idea that they wanted to put a collection of stories together on a nautical theme. They would approach us with just that. Hey, Rabbit Valley, I'd like to put together a series of 10 to 15 short stories, all based in the, say, the seafaring ships in colonial America. We would look at that and judge it based on where they think they're going to go with it. When it's an anthology, we really don't have any stories that they're submitting with the idea to go on. It's really the idea and where they think they can take it with the authors they have in mind. Sometimes there are no authors in mind, and we're just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what we get.
Are there any other criterion that comes into play when you decide of whether to publish an anthology or not?
Rabbit Valley's criterion for publishing anything has always been, if it does not suck, we will publish it. And that actually comes about from the Circles comic. The creators of Circles, Andrew French, Steve Damanski, Scott Fabianek, and Sean Rabbit were sitting at Chicken Bones, a chicken wing place in Waltham, Massachusetts. They were talking about how they would like to put a comic together. And Sean said, well, the idea has merit, just like I've said to the anthologies. If it doesn't suck, I'll publish it. And Thus Circles was born, and that turned out to be an amazingly fun project for the 8-issue run and the one collected anthology of the first 4 issues. And on the heels of that, we were approached by some other comic artists, and we put together the Spoo Presents anthology again. And in that case, they would submit a creative brief for the comic, including character sketches of the main characters and maybe storyboards. And, if it didn't suck, we greenlit the comic, and it showed up in the anthology. And we've since moved on from that to doing other projects, including Grace's Tobias in the Golden Dragon and Tobias in the Trial of Tufty Curlycue books, which are being used in some California elementary schools.
Oh,
So
wow.
the anthologies are really just building on everything we've been doing for the past 11 plus years. Because we really want to see more written word in the fandom. It's what people are looking for. It's what the market's ripe for, so to speak. The two novels that we put out this year, Streets of His City and the prior novel, The Prince and Knaves, are doing incredibly well in the furry fandom. We also came out with two other novel-esque books, The Gifted and Tales of the First Side and Other Stories, which was our first printed literary text-based work. And it's still doing very well, even a year and a half later. We're coming out with the second installment of Tales of the First Side mid next year. Have to be realistic about my goals.
Right.
I want to say early next year, but there's another children's book project that fell into my lap this afternoon that needs to get moved up in the hopper.
Well, that will be interesting to see how that one comes along.
Yeah, it should be fun.
But just a minute ago, you mentioned how anthologies are sort of ripe for the furry community. Is there Personally, for you, what do you really like about anthologies?
You get to sample writing styles of a group of people in one easy, convenient to hold format. You get to see how different people take a theme and run with it. As you know, there are some very talented writers in the furry community. And an anthology themed on something like Halloween is a great way to try to entice some of those writers to take that theme and show you what they can do with it. And not just me or you, but show the whole furry community or anybody who buys the book for that matter how you can take different interpretations of a theme. And that's one of the things I've always found about anthologies. Some of my favorite are the Fang and Roar series put out by Bad Dog Books. Those are some great samplings of writers in the community.
That's a very good point to make. And indeed, this really has been the year of the anthology for the furry fandom, at least, because there are six calls for anthologies from Rabbit Valley, and then quite a few from Fur Planet as well. Just a lot of anthologies that will be coming out over the next year. It's very surprising.
Well, it's a good way for the authors in the fandom to get their name out and to hopefully make a little money.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to commit to writing an entire 80, 90,000 word volume and then hope that a publishing house picks it up and then hope that it sells. With an anthology, you can sort of lean on the names of your fellow authors and get your name out there if you're a new writer. And you can submit to several different anthologies. As you said, there are many of them in the 2013 season. And, again, it's that spaghetti on the wall from the author's perspective. Maybe you'll get picked up in one or two of them. Whereas if you invested a lot of time into a longer work, it might not get picked up.
Right. And again, another very good point. But moving on. I'm not really asking for specifics, but have you had to decline any other proposals for anthologies?
Not at this time. We actually have not declined any furry project this year. We have declined a couple of projects that had no furry content in them at all, but that's just not our market. There are
Right,
plenty
yeah.
of outlets for people to publish human, vampire, strictly werewolf themed books. That's not our market space.
Okay, I
And
gotcha.
I think that's very clear on our publication services page that we're only actively seeking furry and anthropomorphic animal themed works.
Yeah, and that does make sense. And like, why would you want to publish those when you are a publishing company for the furry community.
That's how we like to view ourselves. There's the amount of time and resources that go into publishing a work is not unlimited. Vast, but not unlimited.
Right. As the publisher, you obviously print and distribute your works. But for the anthologies, what else are you responsible for?
Well, just like any printed piece that we do, we're responsible for final editing of the work, layout in whatever design program we're using. These days, it's the Adobe Creative Suite package. Getting the files to our printer, press proof with the printer, as well as everything involved in getting the book printed. And then getting it on the shelves and promoting it to other outlets to pick up and sell, not just ourselves on our website.
Do you commission an artist for the cover as well?
That really depends. A lot of times, the creative body behind the work will have an artist in mind for the project's overall artwork, and at that point, we'll work with the author or illustrator. And in terms of a comic project, and the author they select. If not, if they do not have an author or sorry, if they do not have an illustrator in mind, Rabbit Valley has over 30 artists on our site that we sell prints for. We'll reach out to our internal artists first, and if none of them want to deal with the project, then we'll go out to the furry community at large and ask an artist if they'd be interested in doing illustrations or cover artwork. But given all the Rabbit Valley artists that we send checks to on a quarterly basis, I'm sure one of our in-house artists will want to take on a project.
Right, and it does sound like you have quite a few alternatives if that doesn't work as well.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that Rabbit Valley started as was, in addition to selling Associated Student Bodies and Circles, was selling artwork prints for the artists in the community. Any artist in the community can apply to become a Rabbit Valley artist. The documentation's on the website. I mean, we get a lot of applications for new artists to go up on the site, and we get a lot of applications for story projects. And, as long as it doesn't suck, We'll pop it on the site and we'll give it a good sniff. We've got two novels that are not anthologies in the works right now. I wish I could tell you more about them, but that one of the things that has been a guiding philosophy in the past has been until we have a delivery date from our printer, we don't announce a project. Now we're starting to get a little more lackadaisical about that to start building hype for something, but I don't want to promise something until I know that it's going to be in-house.
No, and that's a completely fair enough answer. I mean, obviously the printing is one of the most important processes of publishing. So
Oh,
I
I would say that editing is far more important than the printing.
well yeah, but
But that is where the time sink is.
yeah.
And we have some great editors that we work with, but at the end of the day, if our name's going to be on it, either Sean or myself has to read through the entire document to make sure that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. And we're human. We miss things. Our editors are humans. They miss things. A PhD in English doesn't mean that you're going to get everything on every pass. Things do fall through the cracks,
Yeah.
but we try our best.
Right. And for those curious about these anthologies, you can go to rabbitvalley.com and go to their blog to read all of the requirements and specifications for these anthologies.
Yep, there's a if you go to the homepage, rabbitvalley.com, way at the bottom, there's a submissions link on the bottom of every page. It'll take you right to it.
And for each of the guidelines for these anthologies, they have an end submission date. They have the amount of words or the ballpark of words that a story has to be. And as the publisher, do you work closely with the editor to set these guidelines, or does the editor set them himself?
It's a back and forth. All of the guidelines are agreed upon mutually by both ourselves and the project manager. Because we know where we want the finished product to be in terms of print cost. And the only way to keep that where it needs to be is to limit the number of stories and the number of words per story. Now, at the end of the day, we are a business. We have to think of it from the business perspective. We let the project manager think of it from the creative perspective within the guidelines that we establish together.
All right, I got you. And
Yeah,
oops, sorry, continue.
I was going to say we're not dictating rules down. We don't work in a vacuum. It's really a partnership with the project manager.
Okay, I got you. And before I ask my next question, I'm just going to give two quick examples of what other anthologies do. For Soulful Wolf, when they edit their Heat anthologies, they set the word count by each individual story. But when I had interviewed Buck Turner earlier this year, as his editing as for his editing job for Roar 4, he said that the word count wasn't really set per story; it was a word count for the total anthology. When you set the word count, is it for the individual story or for the entire anthology?
It's for both. We've got a call for submissions out, say for Trick or Treat, the Halloween one, Tricks and Treats, and we know how many words we want the total book to be, and we've capped the stories at a 10,000 word maximum. And what we'll do is we'll just accept submissions at that 10,000 word max or less than 10,000, depending on between 5 and 10,000 until we reach the total of the book. We're not gonna, and at that point, we'll just pick the best stories to fill it, and there will be some that go into the slush pile for volume two.
All right, and for this 10,000 word guideline, is that a very strict guideline, or is it bendable?
It's flexible to a degree. We don't want somebody to submit a 30,000 word story that really belongs in a sub-novella category of its own. It's just a guideline for the author to write towards a goal. If they come in anywhere between 5 and 10,000 words, I'll be a happy camper. I can fit a lot of stories in a book like that. They come in 12,000 words. They go over a little. If the story has merit and all those words are absolutely necessary, yeah, we could be flexible.
All right. Well, that's definitely nice to know that if the story is good enough and it does go over that word count, it does have a possibility of being accepted. That is nice to
Yeah, I
know.
mean it's you know, and that's where as the final decision maker, you know, if somebody comes in with a really good story and all the words necessary and it's above the word count by a factor of 20%, well, that's a judgment call because somebody else is getting knocked out for that. And that's a
Right.
judgment call on our part.
Yeah.
But it'll really be if the story carries the weight. And I know that there are authors in the fandom who can throw their literary muscle around and craft stories that can do that.
Of that,
But I
I have
won't
no doubt.
know. I won't know if they do until all the submissions are in and we close submissions.
Right, of course. So of the anthology proposals that editors have approached you for, what was it about these ideas that that made you like them and accept the proposal?
Oh, that's a difficult one to answer without giving away which one's which.
You don't want people to know which one was was Rabbit Valley's ideas and which one was the editor's ideas?
No, because I don't want anybody to look at them with preconceived notions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
it's all about letting everything stand out on its own merit,
Okay,
you know.
well, in that case, you don't have to answer that question. That's
No, but I will say that the ideas that were brought to us didn't suck, and they deserve to be published. It goes back to that, if it doesn't suck, we'll publish it. Anybody can bring an idea to us, and it's just a matter of if we think it has merit, it's a matter of putting it on the master plan. As you can see, based on the five anthology calls we have listed, we've got a book closing basically once per month for the entire first half of 2013. As I said earlier, there's only so much publishing resources one company can put in. So we can fit a few more in for 2013, but then we have to start looking beyond that.
Yeah.
Unless they all sell like gangbusters, and then we can add more to to the production plan. I mean, this is what I do. This is my job. This is what I do. So there's always time for it. It's just a matter of other resources.
Yeah. With Rabbit Valley Publishing all, well, to be honest, six is six anthologies is pretty high up there.
And three novels. Don't forget the novels.
And three novels, yes, of course.
So far, that as well as the ongoing comic series. You know, that's the publication plan so far for the first half of next year. It's aggressive, but there are other publishing companies in the furry fandom, like our friends at Fur Planet, who put out more titles just for Anthrocon than that.
Yeah, that's very true.
So it's aggressive, but not unrealistic. It happens in the fandom at least twice a year, FC and Anthrocon.
Yeah, I've heard that those are pretty much like the biggest two conventions, and they're really only 6 months apart.
Yeah, that's not a lot of time to put together a lot of books, but us publishing companies, we manage. We manage. Our big conventions are Furry Connect North and Cali Fur. Those are our two favorite conventions.
Now, I understand that Rabbit Valley is based out of Las Vegas, but why would Furry Connection North be such a big venue for you?
Well, our headquarters is in Las Vegas, but we do have a satellite warehouse in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and another facility out in Warwick, Rhode Island. So we've got our hands in a lot of pots. Why FCN? It's the most fun a person can have at a convention.
That's very interesting. Personally, I always saw FCN as a relatively small convention compared to AC and FC.
Well, AC and FC are the number one and two slot on the top 10 furry conventions by attendance. FCN's in the top 10. It's up there over others. I believe it's in the top five, but I would have to check that.
I wouldn't know off the top of my
Yeah,
head.
I know that Califer is in the lower five of the top 10, but still in the top 10.
Okay. But focusing on these anthologies, is there something specific that you hope to achieve with publishing so many?
Just to get more authors published and to get more written words out there for people to read. That's the goal. The goal is to get more books out there for people to enjoy.
And that's definitely a very noble venture for our Rabbit Valley.
I mean, we attend lots of conventions directly and through our partners every year. When you look at our convention schedule for 2012, we've been at over 30 events across the country over the year. Not all of them furry, but for the most part, most of them are. And the thing we constantly get asked by our customers at conventions is, do you have anything like X? And we make note of that. We write all that down. So when it comes time to determine what we need to look at, it's really what our customers are asking for. And sometimes it's in line with a story idea that's pitched to us or an anthology idea that's pitched to us. And other times we have to make that anthology subject appear. And 2013, that's going to be the first time we're actually giving back to our customers by compiling everything that they've asked for over the last couple of years and hopefully giving it to them.
And I'm sure that it will not disappoint.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Can we expect to see some of these anthologies at Anthrocon next year, possibly?
Well, Anthrocon is a little tight because with submission closing dates of June 1st, June 15th,
Oh,
and May
okay.
1st, we have to read all the submissions, determine which submissions are going to get illustrations, get a cover artist lined up. So Anthrocon might be a little tight, but Rocky Mountain Fur Con is well within the realm of possibilities. And the Tricks or Treats for the Halloween themed one, definitely in time for Fur Fright.
Without a doubt. Well, those are all of the questions I have for you, Mr. Rabbit. Again, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been my pleasure. And again, thank you for the opportunity. Hopefully, once the anthologies are out, you'll want to sit down and talk with all the authors.
Oh, I really look forward to that. Mr. Rabbit, I definitely look forward to having you back on the show in the future, whenever that may be.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I look forward to that day as well.
Thank you.